Many years ago, I heard a story about a young boy, about 12 years old, living in a country that was at civil war, and a bomb went off near the one-room schoolhouse that he went to and crumbled the schoolhouse, basically crumbled on the children. That particular schoolhouse had a basement, so the kids were able to crawl down into the basement and be safe. And the little boy said to his classmates and his teacher, "Do not worry, my father will come." Outside, the parents and the community were all very upset, some of them hysterical, and because, of course, they assumed the worst, that the children were not going to survive. The boy's father was outside, and he said, "They're fine. We just need to get them out." But nobody would listen to him. And so he stopped arguing with them, and he started to take brick by brick, stone by stone, out by himself. In the meantime, his son was still comforting the other children, saying, "Don't worry, my father will come." The people outside all of a sudden started helping him. And so what the father suggested was that they make a little wave, almost like a little tunnel, so that the children could come through sort of one by one. And that's exactly what they did. So when the son realized that they had already had that little tunnel, he asked the children to line up, and he went to the back of the line, making sure that each child got out, which they did. When he got out, he said to his father, "Father, I knew that you would come." And the father said, "And I knew that you were safe." Now, all of us at some point have felt this level of faith in someone, something, or somebody has had that kind of faith in us. For me, it was my mom and my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Schinella. Some of you have heard me speak of Mrs. Schinella. Both my mother and my teacher, and I was around the same age, around 12 years old, I felt this incredible trust and belief in me that I could do just about anything. This is why when I was given the violin to play under Mrs. Schinella's instruction as part of the orchestra, I never hesitated as a child. I never questioned it. And I had never even seen a violin before or played an instrument before. But it was her strong belief in me and the other children. It wasn't just me, it's also the other children, that I felt this love and respect, and I so much wanted to meet her expectations and make her proud of me. Recently, I read a study by the Harvard Family Research Project that suggests that high expectations in school lead to high performance, similarly to the experience that I had with my teacher. They found, and I quote, "Parents who set expectations usually see their children rise to their level of expectation." So setting the standards at high but achievable levels will cause children to step up even further. I've been a supervisor, or was, no longer am. Yay! I was a supervisor for a long time, for many different people from all walks of life. And I found the same thing was true, that if you have expectations that you share with your employees, and you not only have the expectation, but also know they're going to meet the expectation, if you feel that strongly, and you communicate that not only in words, but also in how you work with them, that your employees will certainly rise to the occasion. And I have to tell you that was my experience with 99% of the employees that I worked with. Now, faith is an inner knowing. It's an inner knowing of a truth that no outer experience can shatter or change. So part of what we need to do is to have our faith be single focused, and it must be steadfast. In other words, it can never waver. We can never have doubts in our faith. But we must be careful what we put our faith on. If it is in things of the world, which are all subject to change due to its nature of duality, we will at some point feel or experience some disappointment and probably have to face consequences as a result. Those of you that have taken the classes here in Divine Science and have been in the study groups know that in Divine Science, we believe that all comes first from the invisible realm. So whatever we hold in heart, and when we have faith, we hold it in our heart, as real to us, we will experience. And there's no distinction between what we consider to be good or bad. So if we have a great fear, like snakes, you will eventually experience snakes, which I did last summer in my house. Oh, that was fun. So we have to understand that it is our belief that the faith that we have will be a reality, that it will come to our experience. So therefore, we do have to be careful what we believe to be true. If you believe there's something you can't do, you're not going to be able to do it, even if the greatest expert in the world worked with you. Okay? So we must ask ourselves over and over again, what am I putting my faith on? Now you may think that when you worry, or when you're anxious, or when you are upset, that you're not putting faith in that, but you actually are. Anything that you believe is true, you are putting your faith in. And so, in this world of constant change, ups and downs, we have to be careful that we don't put our faith, which means that we cannot judge by appearances. We must judge righteously. And it is the Divine Father, our Divine Father, okay, who is the one and only eternal good. The one and only. So it is with our faith that we claim our birthright as a child of God, His beloved, and we inherit God's kingdom, His grace, and His blessings. In Isaiah it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee." Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. When we give trust and faith to God, we open our mind and our heart to be able to hear where we are supposed to go and what we are supposed to do. We sometimes call that intuition. When we give our faith to God, our intuition is very strong in us. Now, we all know the Divine Spirit is always expressing through us. But unless we believe that God is real in our life, and we have been listening carefully in the silence to God, we will not have the understanding necessary to experience God. Now, most people have a tendency, and some of us do that, to turn to God in our time of need. From a human perspective, that makes total sense. You're in trouble, you see no solution out here, so you want God to fix it. However, from a spiritual perspective, which is what we are about, the only thing that we are about, We should be turning to God to be about Him, to be about God in our life, to be about God in our relationship, to be about God in our experience. But we may not have faith in ourselves to study and do the work that we need to do to know God. Now, our intentions may be good, but sometimes we lose patience with our progress and we give up. It is important that we have faith also in ourselves. God has faith in us. We need to have faith in us. And when we put our faith in God, He will give us the patience that we need with ourselves so that we can learn that we cannot storm the gates of heaven. And what I mean by that is that oftentimes when we are consciously on the spiritual unfoldment process and we are going to classes and we come to Sunday service and alumni association meetings and so on, we feel and we are going within and we are having our periods of meditation, we want results. We want to see results. We need to put that aside. The results will certainly come, guaranteed. As I tell the students in the meditation class, I guarantee that if you consistently and constantly pray the silent prayer, that is, spend time with God, to listen to God, your whole life will be different. Now, it matters not the time that it takes to build a relationship with God. We shouldn't worry about how long it's taking. And we should certainly not be saying, gee, that person seems to be a lot faster. That person seems to be a lot slower. Nah, let's not go there. It matters not. It only matters that we are going within to be with God. That's what's important. When we turn to God, it must be all about God and the things of God. Because if there is even an inkling, a little inkling, that we want to use God to get something or do something out here in the world, then we're basically turning our backs on God. Then we're using God as our servant. We're using Him so that He can solve our problems. We need to go in to serve God and His children. We need to be of service because it is through our service out here in the world for God that we see more and more of God in our experience. Because in reality, when we are of service to others, it isn't we, the person, the personality. It is God working through us to touch others. When we serve God, we serve our purpose also. Because now we're being a witness to God's truth. And when God's truth is expressed out here in our experience, what we will experience is who God is. His wisdom, His love, His peace, His harmony, His abundance, His joy, everything that is about God, we then experience. Because God will then fulfill Himself through us, in us, and also as us. If our heart is pure with the faith that God is the one and only power. I read a sign the other day that said, when all else fails, read the instructions in the Bible. And I thought that was so appropriate because all of the stories in the Bible, in fact, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, is about our spiritual unfoldment process. So all of those stories really are about us. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, and some of you have heard me talk about it before, is the one about Jesus in the boat with the disciples and the storm comes up. And Jesus is asleep in the corner, and they get scared, and they think they're going to die, so they wake him up, and they say, "Master, Master, wake up, wake up." And he gets up, and he looks out at the storm, and he says, "Peace, be still." And the storm quiets down. Then he turns around to them, and he says, "Ye of little faith." Now, we can do the same thing, by the way. And I'll share some stories about my experiences on planes. I have flown a lot because of work, primarily. Now, I love flying. I'm not afraid of flying. And turbulence normally doesn't really affect me very much. You know, I mean, once in a while, but not very much. However, on a couple of occasions, I have experienced such turbulence that I felt like I was going to... Good thing I had the belt on, because I would have been jumping up and hitting my head at the top of the plane. And in a couple of situations like this, what I decided to do was just to be still, close my eyes, be still. And I saw the words within me, "Peace, be still." And then I let it go, and I was silent. And I was quiet. And I would say within a good 2 to 3 minutes, turbulence was gone. Now, I had been on planes where there were 350 people. It was a 20-hour plane that was coming from Africa. And the plane was on fire. And I've also was on a plane coming into, I mean, we're fine, by the way. Yes, we had to come down and land and blah, blah, blah. And in five languages, the pilot had to tell us it's okay, you know. I don't have any fuel because I had to let it go so we don't blow up, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but I was on a plane once coming into Reagan National. And because I have flown so much, I have a sense of when the plane's coming down, what it should do, what it should feel like. And I knew that the pilot was coming too fast. He was just coming too fast. And so the woman next to me was very nervous. And I told her, "No, I think he's going to be fine." But I said to her, "He is coming a little too fast." When he came down. And as he was going to land, he went right back up. And he said, "Oops, folks, sorry about that. I was just coming a little too fast." And I said to myself, you know, something inside of him guided him, and I'm so glad he was listening. In Hebrews, faith is defined in the following manner. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why some people think that faith is sort of very light, you know, it's not real because you can't see it, you can't touch it. How do you prove it? Well, you know, in my opinion, I don't need to prove it to anybody but me because I can't prove it to you. I can only prove it to me, okay? And so my faith is something between me and God. And I have to keep that no matter what is out here. I shared with the class this morning that, you know, you can go to a doctor, which I know somebody who did. They did some tests, they took some blood work and whatever, and said, "You have cancer, we need to do surgery." Then was sent to another doctor, and that doctor redid all the tests and came back and said, "I don't know what those tests were, but you don't have cancer." Now, it just so happens that particular person was somebody who meditated on a regular basis. And she really goes into the side. It was very interesting. Her family was falling apart because of the diagnosis. And she never did. She was always steadfast, very steadfast. And that is the way that we must be, because faith is an important element in the manifestations of the expression of God for us. Without faith, we miss the opportunity not to get our heart's desire, but to see God in every aspect of our life. Again in Hebrews, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The Word of God is the power of creative expression of God. It is the manifestation of God in our experiences. Jesus said in John, "The Word became flesh and dwelled among us." Without faith, we cannot experience the Word of God. And you all may remember the story of the centurion in the Bible. And it says, the centurion says to Jesus, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus saith unto him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Hearing this, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith." The centurion had such faith and trust that Jesus only had to say the word and God would reveal his wholeness, healing his servant. This level of faith is filled with love and with peace. Too often we do put our faith in the things of the world, which do fail us. But God never fails us, never. He is always with us. His divine intelligence will never leave us. We have to always remember, no matter what we are experiencing out here, there is only God. There is only God. There is no other source. He is the one source. You and I come from this source. Our identity is spiritual, for you and the Father are one, is what Jesus told us. There's no separation. We may feel separated. We may feel that God is somewhere else while we are here dealing with our issues, our problems, our daily lives. But there is no separation. We are all part of the one, the only one. God is infinite. He's changeless. He will never change. There's nothing different about God from who he was yesterday and who he is tomorrow. He is the same. He has always been the same. It is we who must change the focus from the outer to the inner so that we can begin to take charge of our lives. Divine science teaches that through meditation and silent prayer, we will know and experience God, where not our will be done, but his. God is the only source to answered prayer. The God within becomes the experience without. Our true purpose is to know God, not to demonstrate things. We in Divine Science believe that prayer is the only method of knowing God. But as Goldsmith said, by prayer we mean a stillness of mind rather than an asking for something. Prayer is the communion, the joining with, the abandoning of ourselves, surrendering of ourselves to that which the senses do not see. However, it is a constant and consistent turning within to the temple of God within ourselves that our faith and our trust are made strong and real for us. It matters not what shows up or doesn't show up. What matters is that we have the consciousness of God. You know, we all want a sure thing. There's only one sure thing, God. Absolutely a sure thing. I believe that we carry this faith with us all of the time. We carry it because our faith and our trust comes from God. It is God who gives us the strength to dedicate ourselves to our spiritual unfoldment process. Now, there will be times when we may lose our faith. At these times, we need to remember that we of our own selves can do nothing. And we can't. It is the Father within who gives us the faith and the strength to stay on the path of spiritual enlightenment. Deep in all of us, we know that God is with us, in us, and that He works through us. We must not live by the appearances of the world, but instead, let us turn to Him with faith and trust that He will reveal His kingdom, and we will have the spiritual vision of living with faith all of the time. Will you please join me now for our closing meditation? Just be still. Relax your bodies. Just let go. Turn within. And just feel. Feel the temple of God. The silence is His temple, which is found within. Feel His love, His harmony, His peace. We are His beloved, in whom He is most pleased. Let us turn and just listen. With love in our hearts, with faith, knowing that God has always been with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Let us be still. Father, we are ever grateful for Your loving Spirit, Your presence, always here, always with us. For this spiritual understanding, we give You thanks and we say, Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines His face upon you. The Lord is gracious unto you. He gives you His faith, love, and peace, and lifts your consciousness. Amen. Please stand.